everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Master Instructor Roundtable. I'm Marty Miller here with Wendy Batts, as always, jumping in today on the topic of the importance of exercise. So, Wendy, how's it going today?
Thanks for well. How are you?
Great. I, you know, spent some time on this topic. As you know, it's a passion project of mine. This is truly why I did my Doctor of Health Sciences, because, you know, we know exercise is important and we know it has great impact. But the key thing is they continue to find, the people that are out there doing the research continue to find more and more great evidence on the value of exercise. And my goal today, hopefully, is to give all of our wonderful, you know, listeners and followers here with the NASM podcast some golden nuggets that they can take back and speak to their clients or use as they're working with clients that maybe aren't quite sure of the value of really jumping in to a structured exercise program.
No, 100%. And I think some of the research that you found, I mean, it's stuff that we know, but sometimes when you can actually throw numbers in there and say, hey, listen, if we just increase your time coming to see me one more day, you know, this is what the evidence is showing, or this is what the research says. Sometimes it actually helps build your business as well. So I think some of, like you said, these little nuggets are going to be very beneficial, especially if you're trying to close a deal on sessions and packages for sure.
Yeah. And I think as we go through today, you know, here's just a few of the objectives. And then Wendy, you know, we'll always go any direction the conversation takes us. You know, we have ideas and we put these together, but then sometimes I say something, you say something, a question comes in and we, you know, can meander in any direction. But we're going to look at the recent research, you know, recent in the last couple of years, and we'll talk about how a little goes a long way. So sometimes it's those people who are afraid to get started because they think it's monumental, right? I don't have the time. I don't have 6, 8, 8, you know, hours a week or this, that, the other. And then some new strategies to sneak in some more activity or exercise. But, you know, Wendy, as I look back at our career, when we first got into personal training, because we came from the sports performance space, personal training was very aesthetic driven. People, it was really about what I looked like. And the beauty of, I think, what NASM has led the charge in is if you function very well, if you treat yourself like the athlete you are and go through these phases of training, your aesthetics can't help but catch up and you're going to look your best. But it's now about performance. It's about treating yourself like an athlete. It's about all kinds of fun stuff. But now, Wendy, we've talked about this. It's truly about extending life and the longevity of how long can I be my healthiest? And you're going to find a lot of this data will really speak to that type of you know, focus as we go forward.
Yes, it will. And I think, you know, let's just start out by some of the basics. So again, this was a Harvard alumni study, and we were looking at just what the information was saying. And they were saying people who regularly exercise can gain over 2 hours of life expectancies for each hour of exercise. So if you're looking at that over the lifetime, the lifespan of someone, if you're just going to add just working out, which should be part of our day to day, you can see longevity wise, if you're just increasing it by that, that can extend your life expectancy 2 extra years over time. So when you're thinking about that, I mean, if you've got 2 to 3 hours per week for 40 years, so you still have time, then you can gain 2 more years of life expectancy. And I find that fascinating. And of course, there are other things you've got to consider, like, you know, your lifestyle habits and what you're doing. But if you're living a pretty clean life and, you know, you're trying to get on that journey, or your clients are, I think that one's a big one to point out.
And Wendy, let's take this study a little bit further. And, you know, I did briefly read through it. I didn't read all of it. It is on my to-do list. But where I would like to look at it, or my assumption or hypothesis would be, I think, founded, and I'd be shocked if it wasn't this, is even those 2 years at the end is a bonus. What about the quality of the years leading up to those last 2 years, right? You know, I remember speaking to my mom when I first got in this industry, and, you know, she kind of was the mindset is, well, you're going to live till you live and then you die when you're supposed to die. And I'm like, well, maybe that's the case. Maybe my destiny is X amount of years, but what's the quality of those years as well, right? Wendy, you know that I'm babysitting my grandson today. I'm 51. You know that I'm planning on running laps around this kid when he's older, right? That's the goal, is, you know, to live longer, but to live better through those years as well. And we know through other research that that absolutely is the case.
Well, we've talked about that on other podcasts. And, you know, what is your quality of life? Just because you live to your 80, but you've been bedridden for 5 years. Is that really living your life? And, you know, I want to be able to be mobile and be out doing things until my time is done. Dead. And then I'm just done. Yes.
I'm like, good. Wait, what happened?
I don't personally want hospice to come in and be like, well, she's got two more weeks. And then, you know, I'm just sitting there waiting for that time my time to expire. And then I move on. I want to be living my best life for sure.
Absolutely. So as we continue here to the most important longitudinal studies that they have conducted over 45 years, you know, that's a lifespan or a big chunk of someone's lifespan. The nurses' health study and then health professionals' follow-up study. So again, we're evidence-based here. So the evidence that adhering to minimum dose of physical activity, again, minimum dose, not maximum dose, by international guidelines, 150 to 300 minutes of moderate physical activity or 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous activity per week increases life expectancy by 21%. So that sounds like a lot, okay? But you have 7 days in the week. The minimum dose is 20 minutes. That puts you at 140, right? So we're almost there. So I guarantee you, if you are truly honest with yourself and you look through your schedule, I'm going to find it hard for everybody to say, I could not find 20 minutes in my schedule. I don't buy it. You know, there might be days where 40 minutes is easier than the 20 minutes on some days. Okay, that's fine. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes a day, right? We're not saying that it has to be. But when you really break it down, it's not as bad as you think it is. And you know what? If you're a Netflix person, if you're scrolling around your iPhone, well, do what I do, not for that reason, but I have a stationary performance bike in my home that's one of my reasons for having it is there will be days when life is getting in the way and I can't get to the gym. And when do you know I'm in the middle of move right now? I'm building a house. I'm living somewhere else. The gym is 20 minutes away. It could be an issue for me. I don't allow it to be, right? Because in my, you know, temporary living, I have my bike. I have, you know, elastic bands, I have body weight stuff. I'm going to get it in regardless. And I live on a second floor. Worst case, if I walked up and down the stairs for 20 minutes, there's always a way to do it if you choose to do it. So again, we're looking at 20 minutes minimum. I think everyone can find that in their schedule, especially if I was going to give you 21% increase. And then those who exercise 2 to 4 times a week are up to 31%. That's a good return on your investment.
Oh, people ask me all the time, you know, I always have to take phone calls. And if I don't have to be on a call where I'm in front of my computer, which fortunately for me, I can take things from my phone. I'm always outside pacing. Half the time it's because I don't want to overtalk over my husband, who's also having meetings where he has to be in front of his computer. But people are like, how many steps a day do you take? Because I'm pacing the streets. So luckily I live in a cul-de-sac and my neighbors know that's what I'm doing because I'm always outside walking. But it's more time. It's better than me sitting down, just taking a call when I can just be outside. People will have to hear the birds chirping if I have my AirPods in and they ask me if I'm in the jungle a lot of times, but whatever you can do. And that's sometimes all I can fit in. And I'm with you, Marty. I mean, I have bands, I have things that I do for myself. You guys have heard me talk about my neck and corrective exercises that I do. A little bit goes a long way, especially if it's a little bit every day.
Yeah. And if you're intentional about it, you will find ways. You know, there's so many options for home gyms, things like that. So again, it's just, you know, making it a priority. Like if you look at my daily schedule, even though I'm incredibly busy, have a lot of responsibilities, and I raised 3 young boys, I was the coach on their baseball teams, etc., I never missed my schedule. Like it was always there because it was a priority to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one I really like too, because vigorous intermittent lifestyle, physical activity. I mean, that's definitely a mouthful, but I guess it was a couple weeks ago, I did it with Ken Miller when we were talking about really just doing power something quickly. And we called them exercise snacks. And those snacks can lead to a lot of really positive benefits. So when you're thinking about this particular topic or this, when we're talking about vigorous intermittent lifestyle physical activity, we're talking about activity that's just 1 to 2 minutes that you do each and every day, you know, like if you're running to the bus or you're going to do power walking or you're doing things with your kids, you know, we always talked about exercise snacks. Well, exercise snacks is you just go hit the stairs, run them up and down a few different times, and then you take a break and go do something else throughout your day. And then you're going to go back to the stairs and do it a couple more times. And I do this actually with my son. I'll race him up the stairs and I'll be like, who can go down? You know, we go down safely, but we go up them fast. And then it's like, okay, let's try skipping a step. But I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do in your house where, to your point, Marty, you don't have to be at the gym. You don't have to go run that big hill that's on your street and try to do something that is really hard for you. It's working yourself up and taking this little bit each and every day of doing things that will add up. And if you look at the research, they found that just 3 to 4 1-minute bouts of this every day is associated with up to 40% reduction in all cause and cancer related mortality, which is huge because it seems like that's like the thing now when people get sick. We're seeing more and more of this be more common, especially around cancer, and up to 49% reduction in death related cardiovascular disease. So just go outside, huff and puff a couple minutes by just doing a quick power walk, or if you're going to go for a run, maybe throw in a quick bout of running as hard as you can. It doesn't have to be for a long extended period of time. And I think that's where people, they don't understand that just a little bit of something, getting their heart rate up, and you just do it throughout the day, 3 to 4 times, can have really significant benefits in your health and then longevity as well.
Yeah. And you know, you can make it fun. So like on my bike, the other day I did this, I had 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay, what can I do? So I picked a wattage that's, you know, a moderate intensity. And I'm like, all right, I want to see how long it takes me to get my average, because you start out at 0 watts, right? So when you start biking, you know, I'm like, okay, how long is it going to take me to where I can average 170 watts? And it took about 9 minutes, but I had to, it's kind of like, okay, are you sprinting or what are you going to pace yourself? But you have to be over the 150 watts to 170 watts. So it's just a game I played in 8 to 10 minutes. It was exactly what you're talking about. Now that was 1 to 2 minutes, it says, but there's ways to gamify it. And, you know, the other thing too is, on Easter, we played Foursquare with the family, like just back out the rubber kickball, drew out the chalk, and we played for 3.5 hours. Right. And then, you know, the other day we were out in, you know, live in Florida, the weather's great. My girlfriend, I bought that, like, that where you hit the net and bounce the ball. Like, so you can even just gamify some of these activities. It doesn't have to be formal exercise. You can do pickleball, you're a tennis player, like even just some of those things, just being active, finding something you like to do, or it can be structured exercise, but it doesn't have to be a lot.
Oh yeah. And you know, you're talking about, you know, coaching and stuff. We do that with the kids. We're like, okay, let's run from first to second to third, you know, who can win. Or we do relays where, you know, they have to tag and then we've got one team running one direction and the other team running another direction, cause we split them in half just to get them used to running bases. We want to make sure that we're teaching them the right way to run when it's actually during the game. However, I think a lot of it is super important, and there's just so many different research, like information, so much research out there that's showing such positive benefits of all this.
Right. And for those of you joining in today on the Master Instructor Roundtable, Marty Miller here with co-host and dear friend Wendy Batts. We're simply just talking about the importance of exercise, going through some of the more recent research and putting in some of those little tidbits, informational facts that you can use to kind of shock your clients, be like, wait a minute, 3 minutes, 4 minutes? You know, so we were just talking about the importance of vigorous intensity, lifestyle, physical activity. So continuing on with that, the study shows similar benefits to higher intensity interval training, which was the big rage for very good reasons for a long time, HIIT training. And this can be achieved through increasing the intensity of incidental activities done as part of your daily living. Wendy, you gave some great examples of walking up and down the stairs, running hills, playing games with your kids. You know, so there's a lot of ways you can gamify it. So if you're going to be busy with maybe a purpose and put that activity in there.
I love it.
Not hard. Just got to be fun.
Well, when we look at different researches, again, from the American Society for Nutrition, 720,000 people detected that a healthy lifestyle has a massive impact on lengthening the life expectancy. We just talked about that. So when you're thinking about that, we're looking at 8 different positive habits of just daily life. So think about what you do. We already know this, guys. You want to avoid unhealthy habits. No smoking, you know, don't do drugs, don't go out and drink or binge drink and get crazy even on the weekends. I mean, it's okay maybe to have a drink here and there, do social things. We're not saying don't do that. But when we're talking about changing your habits, I just did this with a client today talking about that he stopped drinking. He hasn't drank since dry January, and he's down almost 17 pounds and he wanted to hit a specific goal. And all he did literally was stop drinking because he would have a glass of something every night. And I'm like, well, what happens if we just cut that out? Now, it's also something where he's like, I wonder how long I can do this. And so he's extended it past what we had originally talked about because he's seeing how much better he feels and how much clearer his mind is when he wakes up. But also too, it's all about your attitude. What is your mental attitude? If you're always negative, and I sometimes get into this habit, I'm having a bad day, the whole day is shot, and I'll have to talk to someone where it's like, I just need to turn it around. I mean, we should be grateful for every single day you wake up in the morning. And so people are like, how's your day? I'm like, it's great. I woke up today and it's going to be a great day. That's literally my new motto of what I say in the mornings when somebody first asks me, how's my day going? Try to avoid stress, which is super difficult sometimes. However, you've got to find stress management ways. What are the ways that you can de-stress yourself? Whether it's going for a walk, walking outside, maybe taking a moment to do some meditation. We've given a bunch of different options for you in previous podcasts. I know our whole podcast network talks about, you know, avoiding stress and things that you can do. Of course, always nutrition. What is your nutrition like? Are you balancing your food? Are you avoiding processed ones? I know sometimes that's not easy when you're on the go. However, if you sit down on Sundays and you really write out all the things that you want to have each and every night for dinner, and then think through lunch and then kind of put stuff together. Some people will do they'll portion out their meals and they'll have that just so they can grab and go. I mean, all of that stuff is going to add up because it is all inclusive. It's not just, okay, you can start exercising, but then you're going out and drinking and eating horribly every day. You're not going to see a lot of the positive benefits. However, if you start to change your attitude, you look at what you're eating, you start to exercise, and you get the last one, which is sleep, and you get the proper amount of sleep, it's amazing how quickly you feel better. And then you just want to have to try to maintain that.
Yeah, just a couple of things here. You covered it so well, but some of the things that I think of when I see these. So with the unhealthy habits, what I've always said to people that are like, oh, you're so lucky, you don't crave this, crave that. Nonsense, I do. But I view my body like a 5-gallon drum. There's only so much in my lifetime that I can put in there that shouldn't be in there before it becomes a problem, right? So now it's easier for me, right? I've studied it over the years of what's healthier, what should I avoid, where the hidden calories are, where the hidden processed foods are, you know, all of the sugars. It's easy. I know it now. And then, you know, I now crave the healthier stuff anyways, and I know what my body feels like, right? So I try to limit it so that way, you know, my body doesn't have to deal with it. Being hydrated is also very important there. And then having the positive mental attitude, you know, that's key. And, you know, the stress, you know, the key point there is I've heard before, not exercising is like taking a depressant. So going back to getting people to exercise more and more often will be critical. And then Wendy, we've done one on sleep hygiene. I know you're working on that, but make it a priority.
I know. And that's just it. It's a little bit at a time. I have to focus on, okay, what are the things I really need to focus on? We're getting better with our dinner choices, or even, you know, we know we have practice and we're trying to grab and go, and, you know, we have to think through this at the beginning. But yes, I mean, and it really does add up, because if we always eat poorly, then our kids are also going to eat poorly, because that's what they want and that's what they've always had. But again, when we're looking at the different research that's out there, regular exercise, surprising, no, but it was ranked first by the experts on the easiest thing that you can do is just now incorporate it, but you're also going to have the most benefit. So you're going to be able to improve your health by changing those habits.
And one of the things, Wendy, to jump in here, because I don't want to forget this point, is what always found me, or what I was shocked at, is that I have clients like, you know, once I start my exercise program, I'll start eating healthier. It's like, so you're doubling down on your bad behavior, but there is a mindset like that, like, wow, it's all, you know, if I'm not doing this, I shouldn't do that. So don't be surprised when people start exercising, there's an uptick in adherence to eating healthy. Kind of weird. You know, you would think that if you were exercising, you might think that you could get away with it more. But I've seen a huge correlation where people are like, all right, I'm exercising now, I'll start eating healthier.
Oh, always. And that's why one positive thing that you can do, and don't wait until New Year's, do it today, is write down all of those and then prioritize. Okay, where do you feel you're excelling and where do you feel that you're not? And then what can you do to kind of change that? Not to where you want anything to, the things that you're excelling at, you don't want to fall down below average. However, you can really, once you kind of look at it, you're like, oh my goodness, I really do need to look at this. Or if you've got some kind of technology that you're wearing where it tells you, you're redlining here. What can you do to make those small changes? Because when you look even on the second bullet point here, you know, being active and exercising on a regular basis decreases the risk of death from health-related causes by 46%. And so the more positive habits out of the ones that we just talked about, if you can make those changes, you're going to actually be able to be more effective in your life. You're going to feel better. You're going to move better. You're going to perform better. And the quality of your life that you're living is also going to improve dramatically.
Yeah, nothing bad's going to happen, right? Following a structured exercise program, you're going to be better. Now, this, you know, there's a lot of books and podcasts in this space, but if I had to grab one, you know, I don't know this gentleman, you know, this is just, I know that a lot of us in our space have gravitated to his work, Dr. Pedi Attia, The Importance of Exercise. He's got a great book you'll see here in another slide. I would recommend everybody read it, but also it could be a good gift for your clients because it's going to affect them and how they want to live their life. So resistance training, it partially reverses some of the hallmarks of aging type 2 muscle fibers. Great, right? When I first got in the industry, a lot of women didn't want to exercise. Put on that muscle best you can, right? You're not going to get big and huge and bulky. Women know that now. And that is the healthiest tissue we can have. And there's so many other factors that come from maintaining your muscle mass. And so age-related muscle decline is not inevitable as you think, right? You got to work at it. And we did some things before. Older people, you know, certain population needs to focus more on their protein intake, right? Because that does decrease. And exercise, in particular resistance training, is one of the most effective ways to combat sarcopenia, which is the muscle loss, age-related declines in muscle composition. And if you don't have muscle mass, your body fat percentage goes up. And again, this is not as unavoidable as many might assume. So great information from Dr. Pedi Attia. And as we move forward here, we'll see the book Outlive. I've read it. I'm going to read it again. I have it also on Audible because sometimes I like to just listen to parts of it. So Wendy, have you had the opportunity to go through it yet?
I haven't, but it's not even just something from you, but my boss from the university, he was like, you got to read this because now he's changed his ways by just listening to what he has had to say and the statistics. He was like, it was incredible. And it really makes you think.
Yeah. And in here, you'll see when it says heavy resistance training, you guys are NASM certified. We don't need to explain what that means to you. It's what's appropriate for that person in safe exercise with what they can control, but let's progressively push them, right? We need to overload the muscle. We need to get them where they're fatiguing at that 6 to 8 reps. It doesn't need to be the 1 to 6 reps in max strength. No problem. I rarely do a 1 to 6 rep nowadays. I'll usually stay between 6 and 8 reps, even on my heavy days. And that's just for joint safety, lack of spotters, things like that. But I'm still going to push it to an extent during certain parts of my training. So you'll see in the book, there's a lot of research that's crucial, especially as we age. So that way we can stimulate more muscle mass and it helps slow the aging process for sure. And then older muscle still responds to resistance training, proving again, it's never too early or too late to start reaping the benefits of this critical strategy. You know, show me a 90-year-old who says, geez, I wish I had less muscle mass, right? You know, so everybody, and you, if you watch our healthier seniors versus our unhealthier seniors, whether it's postural control, balance, or just the eyeball test, the ones that are more nimble and agile and functioning, you'll see that they maintain more of their muscle mass.
100%.
Bulk it up, Wendy.
I'm telling you. Well, and I think these are some good questions or good thoughts to think about. And when you're talking with your clients, first question that I always ask after I get through some of the PARQ information about their health is, how much exercise are you getting in a week now? And then what is your ultimate goal? And so, you know, when we start talking about it, I'll ask them a little bit more about exercise. Like, when are you, you know, lifting weights? Are you using bands? Like, are you doing particular exercises? And then I ask them, well, how much activity are you getting? And they look at me like, wait, what? Because you want to think about exercise versus activity. Like, I'm very active throughout my day, very active. I'm running around, I'm walking, I'm doing all this stuff, but that's something that I do each and every day. I'm not changing what I'm doing. And over time, based on the said principle, we know you get what you train for. So I'm not really training for anything. I'm just living my life and I'm not doing anything. I've got to do something above and beyond that if I want to see changes from where I'm at today. So I think it's really important when we talk about it with our clients, think about what they do on a day-to-day, how active they are in their life, what they're doing on an exercise standpoint. is there a combination that maybe if they're not doing either that you can add in where there's enjoyment? Like we talked about what we like to do with our kids or like just for fun for ourselves, and then ask them if they've checked their intensity. Because again, I walk really fast. We went to the Masters. I was walking fast and my husband was behind me. He's like, are you going somewhere? And I'm like, nope, but I'm so used to just being like, go, 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 that I didn't kind of step back and enjoy the scenery. I was already on a mission to get from one hole to another. So I think it's important too, to kind of be balanced, but then also find out from your clients what you guys can do to get this information and then help them make better choices and changes in their programming.
Yeah, it's great to be active, but I've had people tell me, well, I don't need exercise. I vacuumed. And I'm like, no. Because even vacuum is not going to, you know, activate your deep intrinsic core stabilizers and fix your five kinetic chain checkpoints. And like, you know, I don't say that to them rudely. I'm like, oh, I'm great that you do things around the house, but this is your structured exercise program. And then we'll get to the activity. So for me, it's all about sneaking it in, right? Finding a way, a time. So there's no excuses. Schedule it, time block it, put strategies in place that will make it easier for you and your clients to be like, oh yeah, I have the time. Use the acute variables to your advantage. That way you don't need to be in the gym as long, right? That's why the acute variables are so, so good. Go through the different phases because you're going to get different outcomes. Speed, agility, quickness. There it is right there. In 8 to 10 minutes, you do the speed ladder. You're getting coordination. You're getting multiple planes of movement. You're getting that heart rate up. And you know what, Wendy, I'm going to, you know, work from home. I'm building my house. Like there, I'm purposely doing my outside backyard. You know, in Florida, we have, you know, some space, but it's not massive. It's a hardscape. It's going to look beautiful, but we've already designed it where it's truly a hidden gym. We're going to have a palm tree that's angled so I can put my suspension trainer on. We're going to have poured concrete slab so I can put a speed ladder out there. And then when you tuck it away, it looks like a hardscape, but it's a purposeful plan to be able to sneak in exercise as I need to, if I don't want to go to the gym where they don't build a gym out there in a time. So there's always ways that you can sneak stuff in. Wendy, you have a young son that's the perfect age. Try to follow him for a day and you'll be in good shape. All right. And then those supersets are perfect ways to increase the intensity in those two phases. And, you know, you get a lot of bang for your buck there.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the metabolic blast that you hear me talk about with my clients. And, you know, think about that being the exercise snack. If you are in the middle of a workout, you know that they're not doing their higher bouts of activity and at an intensity that they need to be at, then throw the ladder out there and then challenge them. Okay, as soon as we're done with this set, we're going to run through the ladder. I have the 7 different patterns. I want you to go through it. I go first, they follow me. And if they mess it up, we start over. And so that is their exercise snack that they're doing with me. And then I tell them, hey, throughout the day, I want you to run the stairs 4 different times. And I want you to text me every time you did it. And so there's different ways, like I said, you can sprinkle it in for people that don't like to do cardio, people that don't really get their heart rate elevated as research has shown to benefit them. There's little ways that you can sprinkle it into your clients as well, where they're going to be like, huh, okay, you know, and like I said, this is where it takes us now to the key takeaways. And Marty, I think, first of all, great information that you found with the research. I know that we always talk about everything with NASM being evidence-based and research to support what we do. Guys, for us in our profession, the research is still out there to show the benefits of why they need to pay you. What is their health worth? And what can you do to help them feel better and look better and all the things? So it's important to always look up different research that's out there. Question the research if you're not sure what it's saying. Understand that we're going to try to provide you with the most updated information, but find ways to sneak it in, especially with your clients. And don't be afraid to build muscle. We tell everyone that you're not going to blow up. You're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger if you do 12 repetitions at a slow pace, with a certain amount where you're getting crushed. So your skinny jeans will still fit. You'll probably look better in them. However, it's really important to talk about the benefits of building muscle now, because as we know, as we get older, as we just talked about, we start to lose that. And that's when we start to see the issues with the balance, the falls, and also obviously the density of our bones.
Great points, Wendy. So I'm sure that we gave some key takeaways to everybody. But Wendy, you know, we're always looking for ideas and thoughts on what we want to put into our podcast. So if you can give all of our amazing friends here at NASM your contact information.
Sure. If you guys want to email me, you can find me at wendy.batts@nasm.org, or you can find me on Instagram at wendy.batts13.
And my information is right here, dr.martymiller72 for Instagram. And then my email is marty.miller@nasm.org. So Wendy, great information, great, you know, bits of information, how you looked at the slides versus how I looked at the slides. Again, you know, everything comes at different angles and stuff. So I hope that our clients got some great, our customers or NASM family members here got all everything they need for their customers and clients. And thank you for joining. But most importantly, we absolutely will look forward to seeing you next week on the Master Instructor Roundtable.